He is Lord. Do we agree with that?
Yeah.
Yeah, and we've got the most powerful name in the name of Jesus. It's so much so, it's so powerful that a lot of people don't want to even speak it. They won't allow it to be used in certain places because of the power of the name of Jesus. And there was something... I don't know for those that do the Barnabas, but in the other week there was something in Indonesia, which is the most populous Muslim nation in the world, and the new government have changed it now so that on their documents, instead of using the Islamic way of saying Jesus, they're putting Yeshu Christos, Jesus Christ, and that's now on the government documents. So that they are acknowledging Jesus Christ. I wonder if they realize what they've done. So that could see a major change round in Indonesia when we see that they are recognizing the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and not having the Muslim name. Yeah. So I just thought that was interesting and very exciting, actually, that we'll get to that stage. So... we had an amazing day yesterday, and we started off the day with the very start. God got me attention when I was walking Millie with the ash keys still up on a tree. One tree had just a few left, and I thought, and they go, that's wrong. There should be no seeds on the tree at this time of the year. There were no leaves, just clumps of ash keys. And I felt the Lord was saying that some of us, or most of us, have got things that are hanging around from the past that need to be dealt with. And we need to just ditch them. We need to get rid of them. They need to be gone. Yeah. And one of the things that the Lord pointed out to me was religious spirit. And I think this is something that's very, very important that we keep moving against. That we don't allow the religious spirit or religious spirits to get a hold of us.
Yes.
Or to keep a hold of us, shall I say.
Because
the way we've been brought up, probably every single one of us, will be subject to a religious spirit in one form or another. I know I was brought up a high Anglican. Enough said. Yeah. But again, then moved from there in the Methodist Church. Again, enough said.
Yes.
You know, it's the same. And I'm not saying we're perfect here. Please, don't get me wrong. But it's something we need to be aware of. And we need to be getting rid of the religious spirit. We are not people of religion. We are people of faith.
That's right. Yeah.
And there is a big difference.
Amen.
We are the people of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah. Once again, who are you in Christ? You're a child of God. Do we know that yet?
Yes.
Have we really got hold of it? You're a child of God. You're more than a conqueror through Jesus. You're a joint heir through Jesus Christ. You're accepted in the Beloved. And for some to say you are accepted, that is a major thing.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, because how many people have suffered rejection through their lives? But Jesus says, you're accepted. God says, you're one of my beloved. Come on in. We're alive with Christ. Well, we should be, because Christ lives in us. Yes. But, as I say each week now, let's remember we're a work in progress. Let's not get proud. Let's not get arrogant that we're all of these super wonderful things. We are, but it's through Him. Our righteousness is through Jesus. No one else. We're a work in progress. But we've got to stay on our assignment. The primary thing is to yield to Almighty God. Trust and obey. It's God's plan. God's purpose, and he chose us to fulfill his plans and his purposes. God is wanting to open up his kingdom to us. We're kingdom citizens, so it's our kingdom as well. And he wants to open it up to us. He's calling us. He's saying, come, 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 come to me. Come up here. He wants to spend us to spend more time with him. For us to get, as has been said, intimate. God's saying, let's get acquainted even more than we are now. Yes. Bask in my presence and yield. Yes. As you give to me, I'll give back. And we know God can give back far more than we can give. We believe God is going to birth a revival here very soon.
Yes,
I'm pleased that. And what John brought in this morning about somebody being reprimanded for going against or not being bold enough to say, revival's coming. And caught up and then, yes, I'll go with what you're saying, Lord.
Yes.
Why? Because let's face it, we've heard this for ages and ages and ages, haven't we? It was coming in 2020. And I think a lot of people have backed off. But God's plans will not be thwarted. His plans will come to fruition. And he said he's going to birth revival. He's told us it's been dispatched. We're further on than just praying for revival, aren't we? You know, God stopped us from praying for revival. Well, that's a funny thing. No, it wasn't. He said, start thanking me for it. Never mind praying for it, because as we're praying for it, we're pushing it off into the distance. It ain't here yet. It's in the distance. So he was saying, start thanking me. Thanking me for it. With eyes of faith, with the anticipation that it's going to come into being. We've got to keep focused. Thanking for the revival, praying for the birthing. Janet brought that word which confirmed what many others had said, that we had to push and keep pushing. Mark brought that word to us a few years ago, that we had to keep pushing. And it's again, we've got to keep pushing. Then I brought to you Lana Vosa's word. I heard the Lord saying, push, focus, march. Here comes a birthing. March will be the beginning of a greater momentum movement, shifting and shaking. Things will become unstuck in March and move. March and beyond, there will be great mobilizing. Well, yesterday, things became unstuck. We prayed against the spirits of religion, of anxiety, of fear and depression. And there was a change in the atmosphere.
Yes, there was.
Things became unstuck. I'm not saying they're all completely gone, but we can keep going against them.
Yes.
Things will continue. The shifting and the shaking is going to continue.
Yes.
And we're going. Things are going to be unstuck. We've been told to push hard. The Lord is birthing, is rooting a deep humility and a dependence upon him within us. He wants people who mean what they're saying. Not just be floss, candy floss, or froth on the top of the beer. No substance. He wants the substance. He wants us to be people of substance. We're to trust and obey him. And Jesus said, but when you fast. Yeah, and we launched on Wednesday a 24-hour rolling fast, which is 6 p.m. till 6 p.m. the following day. And if you haven't already signed up, I'm asking you, even if you can't go without the food, you're because of medical reasons, to sign up, to take a slot in the fast. And I want this to be a rolling fast. I'm not putting a time limit on it. I hope we get to the stage where it is part of our lifestyle, it's part of our devotion to God, that we're prepared to do this. Whether it's one day a week or a fortnight, we're prepared to fast, to draw closer to Him and to seek Him for what He wants to do. So we can just keep on rolling with this. And I know it's great to have all set days and everything. I would ask you to look at the sheets, and Philip, we will get another sheet put in place for next week, for follow-on weeks, because we've got a few weeks in advance. But there are also some gaps. And, you know, strangely enough, Helen and I didn't put our name up first of all. We said, we'll leave it and we'll fill the gaps. Well, if it carries on like this, we're not going to get a Sunday lunch. so we say we'd appreciate some people signing up as well. So once in a while, we can have a Sunday lunch. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. But when we look at it, this isn't anything new. Fast days are not new. Jesus had them right from the beginning, and the Jews fasted before that. But John Wesley, if we come a bit more closer to home, he called the Methodists, all Methodists, to fast on Wednesdays and Fridays. So aren't I kind?
Up to 4 p.m. though.
Sorry?
Up to 4 p.m.
Well, he still called them 2 days. That's more than the 24 hours that I'm asking for. And he refused to let anybody be a preacher if they wouldn't commit to that. That's the commitment. Hudson Taylor was in the habit of conducting 24-hour fast during his work in China. Bill Bright, founder of the Campus Crusade for Christ, did the same. The Promise Keeper movement began by 72 men committing to fast and pray one day a week for an entire year. Yeah. And I'm just conscious that the Moravians, now I'm not sure whether they're yes, they would fast, but I know they started a prayer meeting, didn't they? How long did that go on? 100 years. So have we started now 100 years of 24-hour fasting? We'll not see the end of that, but never mind. Yes. But, well, we might. That will be a miracle. Yes. Moving back the clocks, yeah. So I'm encouraging you, if you haven't signed up in some way, to put on. So you're taking a slot there, even if you're not fasting per se from food, you can fast from other things and move forward. Yes, I want us to pray and move forward. I've given some guide sheets there, but they are just purely guidance. It's whatever you feel that God's laying, but if it's split into three parts, the primary goal is our focus on God.
Yes.
It's our focus on our relationship and deepening our faith with Him.
That's right.
The second one is praying for this revival to be birthed correctly and for that revival to roll and to keep going. And for all the different things, like what on the flip chart, what all the different, it's just put on there, flip chart, and it's all the things what written up there, which some of you got on your phones, and to pray all the other things in, anything else you feel, we're praying for the revival to be coming in. And the third part of the fast is the state of the nation.
Yes.
That we need God's mercy upon our nation. Yeah. I'm going to repeat part of the word that I brought last week. But before we move into it, I'm just going to ask John to play, and I want us to get this focus. We're thinking about the fast. We're talking about getting closer to God. A cry from our hearts, and God will answer those cries. He'll come and meet with us in a new, in a fresh way, in increasing measure, as we trust and obey. for you to continue to see things shift and shake from March and beyond, I'm raising up a people who will live with their face between their knees in focused prayer and intercession. Can you hear the sound of rain coming? Can you hear the sound of the army being mobilized on earth? For as great a shifting and shaking comes in the earth, the birthing, the manifestation, the revealing of my glory will be seen. You cannot be distracted. You must be ruthless with distraction. So anything that's coming in to stop us, we've got to get rid of. We've got to push to one, over one to one side. No matter what your eyes see in the natural, from March and beyond, keep your eyes on me. There will be a great movement of my spirit, great momentum of my spirit, and move of my hand will bring divine order and demonstration of my power and glory. That I am the great I am. And I will be seen in a greater way. Yes. My glory is coming. Incoming glory. Let's embrace that. Get ready for the shaking and the awe, though. Because God says he's going to shake. He's going to shake the church as well as shake the world. And those that think the shaking's over, it's just starting. It's just starting. Things are going to be beginning to birth in the shaking and the shifting. And God's calling us to come to him and to worship him and to keep moving. When the day Jesus ascended, he commanded his disciples, and that was a command. He said, wait in Jerusalem. It wasn't an option. He commanded them to wait in Jerusalem till his Holy Spirit came. I believe we're in a similar situation as the disciples. They were anticipating the coming Holy Spirit. Well, we are blessed that we've got the Holy Spirit with us, within us. But I believe we're in that situation where he's saying, wait till it births. We're in the process of birthing. We've got to keep moving. You know, the Holy Spirit wants us to keep looking. It's been, the revival has been dispatched, and to keep praying as we await the arrival. What a focus, keep focusing on God. We've got to make sure we're right with him. Armin Gesvein, founder and director of Revival for Prayer Fellowship in the Ministers Prayer Fellowship, said, if you want to get revival, draw a circle around yourself and pray, Lord, revive everyone within the circle. Yeah. So we've got a responsibility. It's not just praying for revival out there, it's praying for revival in here. Because revival starts with each one of us as we're moving forward. We've been told to pray and fast and to push through the barrier, not to get distracted, but to focus on God and being right with him. You think, oh, dang, this is hard work. Do we believe that revival's coming? Well, sometimes we need some encouragement that when we pray, we're going to see results. I'm sure you all agree that we get answered prayer, but there's times when we need a little bit more. And in ways which sometimes we don't expect, and it comes from different angles and stuff. Susanna wore Coke bottle thick eyeglasses since she was 9 years old. As an employee in a fabric store, when her eyeglasses broke, it created a major challenge. How could she read the tiny print on the clothing patterns to help her customers? That evening, her 8-year-old daughter, Tammy, announced, it'll be okay, Mummy. I've prayed for you. Yes, Tammy, Susanna said. God will provide money for us to get my glasses fixed. Oh, no, Mummy. I've asked God to heal your eyes so that you can read the fine print. Susanna wept at her own unbelief in contrast to her daughter's high level of faith. The next morning, Susanna woke up and realized that she could see perfectly.
Wow, wonderful.
Yes, her eyes had been miraculously healed. When she told her story to our church family, she wept again for joy at the startling faith her daughter had displayed in God's ability in contrast to her own unbelief. As you can imagine, this story was the catalyst to see more healings that morning. You know, the faith of a little child. Often the children get dismissed. Jesus said, let them come to me. And he also said, unless you have the faith as a child. Unless. We've got to have the faith.
Yes.
We would say, oh, that's impossible. But that child says, no, mummy needs to see properly. So my God can do it. Yes. Focused faith on God. He can act. But we've got to be willing to ask him. Look at Jesus. He said the Son can only do what he sees his Father doing. By myself I can do nothing. I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. My teaching's not my own. It came from him who sent me. The one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone. For I always do what pleases him. I don't speak on my own accord, but the Father who sent me commanded me what to say and how to say it. I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. Jesus looked to God in everything. He asked, I do nothing other than what the Father tells me to do. If it's good enough for Jesus, is that good enough for us?
Yes.
That we've got to actually be responding,
yes,
and say, Father, help me. Mm-hmm. Father, I don't understand how to do this. Holy Spirit, come and guide me. Mm-hmm. You know, a while ago, or ages ago, we're saying religion is for old women because you need a prop. Well, okay, yeah, we do need a prop. Let's admit it.
Yes,
we need Holy Spirit to guide us.
Yes,
and frankly, by using the prop of the Holy Spirit, we are much stronger,
yes,
much better equipped, much more able to fulfill the task that God's got before us. And there is no shame in asking for help. We help ask Holy Spirit. We help each other.
Yes.
And that's why we're in a body. Because when we each one's got different gifts, and we can ask for help to fulfill. But we can't replace Holy Spirit. He's the one who keeps us, guides us, and directs us. Jesus told us to remain in a state of receiving. Are we in that place? Do we believe that? That we need to be in that place? Jesus said, I said to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. Notice it's not just a once. It can be several times. That knock doesn't just mean it. It could be knock, 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 knock. And it could be knocking again. We hear about the persistent widow, don't we? Who carried on and carried on and carried on. There are times when we've got to keep pushing. There are times we want to keep going. Everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds, and to him who knocks the door will be opened. That's a promise from God. As we keep knocking, the door will be opened. I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe you have received it and it will be yours. Thank you, Lord, for the revival. Thank you, Lord, that revival is birthing, that we're going to see it. A man can receive nothing unless it has been given him from heaven. We're asking, Lord, for revival from heaven. Yeah. Receive the Holy Spirit. That's what we're looking to. More and more, being more reliant on Holy Spirit. We've got to learn to be open and receptive, to practice listening. But once we've listened, to respond. If we get a prompt in Scripture, look it up. See what it's saying. Meditate on it. Get into a chain link with it. They can be wonderful at times, you know, when you pick up one verse and it leads you to another verse, to another, to another, to another. And you think, gosh, where's all that time gone? As you've been going through the chain. I encourage you to do that. Encouraging myself to do that. Yeah. And let's remember, when you point that way, that's three coming back.
Yes,
so what I'm saying to you, I'm saying to myself. Yeah. I'm not saying I've got it, I've learned it all, I'm perfect, because I ain't. I'm far from that. We looked at the treasure and the pearl last week. The men sold everything they had to get their hands on that, on the treasure. But we know the greatest treasure of all is Jesus and the kingdom of heaven. Are we sold out to want to see revival coming, to see heaven on earth? Because that's what revival is. It's heaven on earth, where people are getting saved, delivered, healed, set free. You know, their lifestyle's completely turned around. I want to see this area completely transformed for Christ.
Yes, amen.
Yeah. When we're praying here, we're not just praying for ourselves, it's the area, beyond. We're praying for the whole of the East Riding.
Yes.
That's why we went out as watchmen and put stakes around the boundary to protect the East Riding from the influence that want to come in. The protection. Moving forward. Time is our greatest gift. I know we say we give our hearts back to God, but time is our greatest gift. We can't make any more of it. We've tried. Yeah. But invariably, yeah, the days run away with us and we haven't got completed what we want. To say it right, okay, I'm saying, well, hang on, set some time aside for God. Well, I haven't got time for that. I've got too much to do. Well, I'm saying, no, what's our greatest priority? It's setting our hearts and minds on God to worship Him. How can we learn to minister, to dwell in God's presence? How can we learn to relate to Him more? Do it. Spend the time. Spend time with God. It may be we start with a small amount of time. Alex Buchanan used to say, switch your mind and use a minute. Because it's all very well saying, oh, well, I'll do it when I get an hour. Well, perhaps we haven't got an hour. But he used to say, use the minute. And very quickly the minute becomes 5 minutes. Because you realize how much benefit you get out of spending time with God. Then it becomes 10 minutes and then it goes on. Well, I'm looking, see, I'm asking, as we're doing with fasting, if we possibly can, put an hour a day, specifically. I'm not saying that's the only time you pray or anything like that, but an hour a day just to specifically be spending time with God. To do what? Okay. Well, I've asked, these are just suggestions. It's entirely up to you what you do. I asked John to do some instrumental stuff. He's put them on tape, memory sticks, when I can get the right word. And there's memory sticks at the back there. And it's just worship music. No songs, just the music to sit in, to bask in, to listen to. You know, and they're in 15-minute slots. So if you want, you could actually have 15 minutes listening to one as you're praying. 15 minutes with another one as you're reading the scriptures. And as you're reading the scriptures, to jot down any verses that, oh, I like that, I want that, or I haven't seen that before. And then the next 15 minutes with the next slot, meditating on those verses that you've read out. That's jumped out at you, or that you, oh, I want to look more further into that. And then another 15 minutes just waiting on God. Because you've primed the pump and you're moving through. You're listening and just tune and see what God says. See how much. Yeah, and you say, well, that's a big ask. Yeah, it is. But it's going to be worth it. Yeah. And, you know, I know for some people here, they do that every day. So I'm just asking you, when you do your weekly fast, to do that for us. And that's the way, as we're doing this, as we're spending time with God, he says, you mean this, don't you? And he'll respond for us to keep moving forward. Music's a great help for us to be listening. It may be you just want to sit and listen to the music and see what God's saying to you as you sat there, bask in it. And that may come a time when you get to the stage, well, I want silence. That's a progression. See, I'm trying to make it easy. As I said last week, I don't want to set anybody up to fail. To make it help, make it easy, or easier, shall I say. You know, we need to set aside time to pray, to focus, and to keep pushing. Yes. Jill sent me something as well, another Lana Boza. This was, she delivered it on this, well, it came to me on the 7th, so, you know, this was spoken out. It was given by God on the 6th of this month. Bearing in mind, this is from the other side of the world. But we've got a God who knows exactly what's happening wherever we are. He starts, I heard the Lord say, fast and pray. It's a new day. For what I am birthing right now, get that? We're in the birth pains now. God's saying, I'm birthing it right now, will only come to and through those who dedicate themselves to prayer and fasting. So there's an encouragement, if nothing else. The revival's going to come to the people that are prepared to push in for it. If we then go out to others, because it'll be the catalyst. Once the revival starts, it spreads. But it's got to start somewhere. It's like when you're laying a fire. You've got to start somewhere. Just think about it. You get rid of all the rubbish. You get rid of all the ash. You shift the junk. You get the grate clean. Then you start preparing. You put the paper in. You put the sticks on. A lot of you might not even have an open fire here. And then you put the wood or the coal on. And then you light it. It's a process. It takes time. And likewise, it's taking time for where we're going. God knows exactly what he's doing. For what I am releasing cannot come cheaply. I am calling my people to deeper consecration. I am calling my people to deeper surrender. For you cannot serve the world and serve me. You cannot serve your own desire and your flesh and serve me. For I am thundering the call from heaven again. Abandon all and come in all to what I abandon all and come all in to what I am doing in this hour. Notice this hour. Well, it's imminent what's happening. Many are coming before me with their all in with conditions. I am the God who defines the conditions, and the condition of my church in this hour is one that requires my fire to fall. My fire is about to fall on mixture, complacency and half-heartedness. I am calling you, my people, surrender all. I am calling you into new things. I am calling you, but you must come without your own agendas. You must come in without your own conditions, for I am the one who determines the manifestation and the release of my glory in the earth and the move of my spirit. For it is not up to man to determine when and how I move. For I am returning to my people to an understanding that I am the God of the heavens and the earth. For man has tried to take my place, and this pride has grieved my heart. In this hour, I am about to deal with a pride that will offend many minds and hearts. I'm about to deal with pride in such a deep shaking that many will see it as unexpected and will call it not God. But indeed, it is my hand, for I am building upon pure foundations in this hour. And the mixture within my church has grieved my heart. My church has shied away from being deeply consecrated unto me and called it religion. But I say true religion is to be separated and unspotted from the world. I am bringing my people back to a sure foundation of my word in order to purify her and her double-mindedness. See, religion again, heads raised. You know, and we didn't just do it because this had come through, because I hadn't read and digested this before we did what we did. It's what we're talking about with the Watchman on Friday. Religion. It's one of the next assignments that we'd probably be taking up on. But anyway, we'll get back to this. Am I not the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Am I not the one who created the heavens and the earth with my words? Who else is like me? Who holds the stars in their hands? No one else but me. For do I not say that I resist the proud and give grace to the humble? For my fire is about to fall on the culture of the parading of names and the elitism that is dividing my church. That is a very powerful warning. For a fierce wind of my spirit is upon my church. There is a sudden storm coming upon my church that is going to purify, refine and sift. I am going to shake like I have never shaken before, and it will reveal the hearts of those that are for me and those who are against me. And I say unto you that many will be shocked at who is not for me. For I am about to expose and reveal hearts. I'm going to take down the words of those that are spoken and the right words that are spoken, but the heart is not pure. So God's saying, I know what you're saying, what people are saying, and it's what's right. If the heart's not right, the words are going to be taken down. Because he goes on to say that many of these people are leading the sheep astray. They are leading my people astray, and these falsities are about to be burned with my fire. Oof. I have called, but my words have fallen on many deaf ears. And now my words will be heard through the powerful demonstration of my hand to clear, to shift, to expose, and to remove. For many are heralding a new day with complacency. But the new day that is upon my people is one of glory and one of trembling. It's one where my glory will be seen in a way that will cause my church to tremble. The culture of game playing in my house is coming to an end. And I'm dealing with those who seek to compete with me for the glory. Watch the places where my glory is going to fall and reside. Watch the humble spaces and places for many places where my presence, where my manifest presence will reside, will be unexpected places. But they are the faithful places. They are the pure places. They are not prostituted places. I'm coming to shake, and to rattle and to roll that which is not of me, which has been built on man's effort and pride. Many have thought that the shaking has come and gone, but it's only just beginning. I'm going to shake so violently in this hour that it will restore the awe of who I am. It will cause my people to return to my face and their first love, for I am a jealous lover. And said, watch the prophetic movements and see some of the prophets are going to fall. The false prophets. But the pure prophets and the pure prophetic will be seen and heard across the earth. Here I come to shake, rattle and roll. Here I come to remove and tear down in an accelerated way which has been built in pride and which has built... Here I'm coming to remove and tear down in an accelerated way what has been built in pride, what's been built in elitism, what's been built on false foundations. Here comes the fire and the fear of the Lord upon the prophetic movement and the body of Christ. The perfect storm is about to begin, and all that is not of me will not remain. It's a new day, and many are expecting the new day full of joy and celebration. And there will be great rejoicing in what I do and how I move. But the new day shall precede the restoration of the move and the awe and the wonder of who I am. Yes. The King of Glory. My majesty is going to be manifested, and I will cause my church to tremble again. A very stark warning. But once again, timing from the other side of the world for what is happening. And we're not getting proud or anything like this, but God has actually said he's birthing something here. Yes. In the places, she said, in places you wouldn't expect. Yes. It's not in the great big minsters or buildings. We're in a shack on a farm. But a while ago, God said he was actually coming to the farms. Yes. He was coming to the hamlets. Yes. God cares about the rural, as well as the urban. Yes. Oh, yes. See, for years it's been said that the city is the place and everything comes out of the city. Well, when I heard that, I thought that's wrong. Because without the rural area, the city is nothing. Because the rural area feeds the city. If you go back in time, the farms fed the people in the city. Not the other way around. Right. Is God turning things around again? Oh, yes. Is it going to be that we're going to see revival starting on the farms? I'm not just saying just here. Because you're looking at Jean Darnell's word. There's fires all over. And one day, all those fires are going to burst into flames, run together, and the whole of this nation is going to be swept in fire. The fire of Almighty God. The rubbish gone. The falsehoods gone. And the truth coming forward. And when the truth's coming forward, that's when the gospel's coming in full power and might. And what's been leveled so much against the church these days? It's powerless. You've got no teeth. It's weak. It ain't. The true church is not. And we're going to see that. We're going to see the power of God once again running through the streets. Look at Lewis, where they came out at 4 o'clock in the morning. 600 of them out on their knees repenting of God. 4 o'clock in the morning. They expected the pastor to be in the church. He won't. Yeah. So they had to stop outside in the car park. Yeah. You look at in the Welsh revival, the miners coming off shift. with tear-stained faces as God had touched them down the mines, falling down on their knees in the middle of the streets, the power of God hitting them, people being healed and set free, lifted up. Go across to Porter when some of the youngsters at Bethel, there's sheer delight when somebody's ill in the car park because they go and pray for them. Oh, you've got a broken leg, have you? Come on, let's get you healed. That's the power of God working. That's the power of God we're going to see. Why? Because we're pushing in. We're pushing in. We need to be prepared. God's going to shake the church. We need to be prepared. Rooted in His Word. In His ways. Looking to Holy Spirit all the time. As I said before, if Jesus needed to, we certainly need to. The fasting helps us to humble ourselves. Helps us to realize who we are. That we have got weakness. We have got frailty. But with God, we can move through and be victorious. We're praying to draw down the revival. To see the revival being birthed. That's after we're closer to God. Or at the same time, we're praying, you're closer to God, revival being drawn down, but we're also praying for the state of our nation. And we're saying, God, have mercy, please. We don't deserve it as a nation. We've slipped as a nation, but draw us back, Lord. Have mercy on us. It's pushing and focusing. It could be said that we're repeating ourselves in what we're doing. Well, some of you have heard this, but others haven't. Wednesday morning, I was woken up at 3:33. As soon as I woke up, I started thanking God for the revival He's dispatched and asking for direction to bring it to birth, and a sound birth. We don't want a weakling. We want something strong. And God gave me a picture of a light bulb and socket. And I thought, oh, that's it. We've got to push it in. Push the light bulb in and twist. But then God showed me it wasn't a bayonet cap. It was a screw cap. The thing about a screw cap, you have to turn it several times to get a connection. You've got to repeat what you've done to get that connection for the light to come on. He showed me that screw cap, said it had to be turned several times to engage, to be in place correctly. It may seem you're going over the same things in prayer. As we turn, but we're turning it into birth. It's necessary for you to get the realization of revival. Yes. To get it into place, we've got to keep pushing. We've got to keep turning. Obviously, I didn't write that down in the middle of the night. But then when I went down for my quiet time in the morning, I wrote it down. And as soon as I got it written down, I just felt God says, looking at the light bulb, oh, this will just be a glimmer, the light bulb, because it's going to be amazing, mind-blowing, exhilarating, wonderful, awe-inspiring, breathtaking. So trust me as you push and focus.